move for new leadership?
Well, action.
Well, I was contacted by Sarah Huckabee Sander, who said if the thing replacing Sean doesn't work out,
you might have a job.
She'd be interested.
Sounds good. So, I'm glad everyone's here. It's kind of July 4th weekend. It is in my head. We'll see what the people over the hill think. I think it's going to be a crazy beach day. We'll try and run the agenda according to who's here to talk about what. But we'll also check in on the community reports. Notice, the agenda went out with appropriate notice for the meeting. And the minutes were also circulated. Does anyone have any corrections to the minutes of the June meeting as they appeared?
I have one correction to the spelling of Stephen's name.
Okay, with the correction of Stephen's name, are the minutes accepted with that correction?
I move that they be accepted.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Sam, how are we doing in the cash department?
Well, today's July the 1st, so no bank statement was available, so I don't have a reconciled bank statement in front of me, nor a financial report. But as soon as I get the bank statement, I'll send the information to Sarah, and we will post the proper...
That's Sarah Huckabee Sands.
Sarah Huckabee Sands. She does volunteers in her spare time. But that'll be posted on the website when Sarah Folsom gives us our financial report. But informally, I can tell you that we began the month of June with $16,013 in the account. We had expenditures of $24 and no income. And our balance as of June 30th was $15,988.
As we've discussed before, our hope is to fund at least a part of a reviewed and revised community plan. So having that amount of money is what supports our planning for that purpose. And we are, despite that accumulation of funds, going to ask everybody for more next month. Old business? No one here is old enough for old business. New business?
Nobody's young enough for business.
No talking with your mouth full.
This might take a while.
So we can understand it or not.
Okay, time's up.
Yes, Jamie.
I noticed on the agenda there's a matter about traffic, and so this is either old or new business, or I can wait till the end of this, but I thought I'd tell you what's going on about that, given the tendency of what's going to be a busy weekend. So, I think I told you last time that I talked to GGNRA, and they've got a private outfit that will come and direct traffic. So I then, at Kenny's suggestion, called the sheriff, who in turn gave me to Caltrans, and Caltrans accepts responsibility for moving traffic along the highway, and so they're the sort of right entity to end up discussing this with. There's a couple of people that are, well, anyway, the guy I'm currently talking to is in charge of sort of public relations and solving individual problems. And so I told him about it. I sent a copy of a couple of comments out of the neighborhood
next door,
thank you, to him just to sort of reaffirm, and so they're looking at it. So the options, it appears, are one of my questions is, are we willing to pay any money for someone who is properly authorized and has the endorsement of Caltrans to help direct traffic, basically put a black paper bag, black plastic bag over the stop sign, stand there in a red jacket and signal the traffic as it goes through in an effort to kind of hustle the traffic through and make it easier, right? The way to do it. So the question is, are we willing to make a contribution to that? Is it important enough to us and to the Village Association to do that? And so therefore make some sort of gesture to Caltrans, as opposed to asking for them to pay the entire cost of finding someone if they're willing to do that.
What's the cost?
It's about $20 an hour. And if it's, like from 11 till 6, so 7 hours a day on the weekends and maybe on 4th of July. And who knows about Monday, this coming Monday. But anyway, so holidays and weekends, something like that. So it's, $140. Is that what I come to?
$140
a day.
$180 a weekend.
One of the things that came up in the conversation was, well, we could get rid of the stop signs and instead put in a stoplight.
No.
So that's what my wife said. She actually said, "You've got to be crazy." Imagine.
We were thinking that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So I'm here to ask, right? And that is the sort of initial sledgehammer response that this guy from Caltrans said. Well, that's not what you're making. Stoplight really moves up. Okay, so just wanted to ask, and anyway, we'll see what happens. But they're.
And what about the sheriff? Has the sheriff said anything about having somebody here on?
Well, so because
they do from time to time, right?
The sheriff's in town right now. Sorry about the.
Yeah, but she's just traffic enforcement.
Sheriff says it's not us. It's the CHP because it's a state highway. And the CHP said, here's who you should talk to at Caltrans. And so the answer is, yes, you could assign a sheriff's officer, but that's pretty expensive. And that was my initial tact, was instead of trying to get CHP to take one of their officers and put them there to direct the traffic, was instead to go to Caltrans, who's willing to accept responsibility for this, and have them apply it to their budget. Just a question of how quickly they will act and whether it's going to happen this summer or, off down the line.
So if we were to hire someone, does anybody have a sense of what the liability would be if we were paying the bill?
Well, so I said to them, look, here's GGNRA. They hire this outfit. And at $20 an hour, and their
about last month you said it was 25.
No, you're right, $25 an hour. And it's an outfit called West Park. They're a private outfit. They're in Sausalito. That's who GGNRA hires. So, anyway. I think this is something that Caltrans is willing to accept the responsibility for. It's just sort of a question of how quickly they're willing to say, okay, we've got this discretionary budget. This is a problem. We'll go solve it. And so, anyway, that's just the state of affairs.
What about the sheriff's department? I was under the impression that they said between Memorial Day and Labor Day they were going to send a sheriff out here to monitor the traffic or to help with the traffic congestion.
Okay. Well, I was.
And they have.
And they have.
Yeah.
So, what?
From time to time.
And they've also increased the sheriff patrol every morning when I go to work. Every single morning, there's a sheriff coming out here. So
yeah.
They've definitely increased it.
Have you dealt with our traffic committee, which Lee heads up? No, seriously, we have a subcommittee, a traffic subcommittee,
and a skunk subcommittee in the back.
Yeah. to deal with this and. We may not have gotten word out enough with the email address and Lee's heading it up.
Please. I mean, I'm
just a couple of things I want to say though. Is first of all, people are complaining and talking about it a lot, but we really don't hear. Nobody puts it in writing. At least I haven't gotten anything. Maybe they don't know about it. But I also wonder. Two things. One, is it really the traffic or is it the bikers, that's causing a lot, that people are complaining about a lot on the mountain? And the other thing is, would even a traffic person at the corner here do it, or do we? Would we also need someone down by the park, by the the parking lot, the public parking lot? I mean, I don't know if it's just at this one place.
Well, they are using the GGNRI has been hiring a valet parking the last 2 weekends. They've had people from, I think it maybe that Sausalito firm.
It is.
And they are directing traffic and closing the, you know, closing it off and then allowing children and dogs to be unloaded. It's not working very well, but that it's working better than people lining up in the turn lane, which they often do, and then blocking the Highway 1.
Uh-huh.
And they've done that the last 2 or 3 weekends.
What I see, one of the major congestive factors about the intersection is the pedestrians. Because once they approach the intersection, you're required by law to stop. And if nobody's directing traffic, there's just an endless parade across the street.
So it's, that's the notion. You find somebody who actually is in charge. They put the thing on, white gloves and hat on, or whatever, and they say, okay, you know, traffic, okay, everybody stop, pedestrian, you know, that's sort of, that's the idea. So I will, I don't mean to step in here improperly.
No, I'm thrilled that you've done that.
You are secretly on the traffic subcommittee. And we're now willing to come out and acknowledge it.
You're a secret weapon.
Fine. So I'm going to keep talking to Caltrans. I will call the sheriff's office and see if they're willing to dedicate a person to come out here. And it's, you know, it's a question of whose budget is it going to come out of, because I hear with $15,000 in our budget, we'll burn through that sucker pretty quickly if we raise our hands. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that Mike wisely brought up before is, what about our liability if we are doing it? So it clearly needs to be one of the agencies who's responsible, willing to take the liability and says, and has a budget to pay for it.
Did you find out from this firm in Sausalito, or if they indemnify the whoever hires them?
Well, they may have a maximum big insurance policy that we could be named on.
But maybe so.
I'm not even sure we want to. Well, we'd have to think.
But we're not insured for that.
Well,
I don't think we want to be the direct.
No, no. If we give money to
over the last 10 years, hasn't the county told the sheriffs to do this? As that's an inquiry's laid about.
Here's what I think.
Please,
I think the deputy. You can't think of him or her as dedicated, because if there's a call, they have to go. So asking the sheriff to commit someone is uncertain. It's a plus. I think it would be good. I've been thinking we should try and get a trained volunteer force to do it. Again, liability is always the question.
Right.
And who's in charge? County, GGNRA is a question. I believe that if we assured ourselves that we were not hiring and we were not liable, if possible, if there were a way to contribute some money, I don't know, $100 per weekend or something like that, I would endorse that, though I don't think it's anything to vote on yet. But if that's our consensus, you know, then the message, you know, could be sent.
So
would Caltrans be hiring these people?
Yeah, I mean,
and we would be reimbursing Caltrans for the expense, or how does that work?
Contributing to Caltrans.
Yeah.
This was just a question of, you know, are we willing to make a monetary gesture to the whole thing? We care about it. Here's $100 per weekend. We're willing to stand up and offer. So
each weekend,
I think that's
through
worth
Labor
asking.
Yeah.
I think everybody would be thrilled to chip in, and maybe we get even more donations next year.
I think the way to ask the question, I would ask it of both the Sheriff's Department and Caltrans,
please,
and say, we really want to have a traffic monitor at the intersection, because I think that's a major blocking point. And would a contribution from the Village Association be of help? Don't talk about how much or any of that. Just open the door and see if that will help to spur it on.
Could you and I talk about this?
Sure.
Either afterwards or we exchange phone numbers or something.
Sure.
Okay. And
sure.
Because you've done a lot of the research on it.
And it sounds like Jamie may have gone through that door, Larry, if you've already started talking.
Yeah, but I haven't said anything about money or anything like that.
Okay.
No, so, yes.
Good. Okay, so I'll catch up with you.
As I've reported before, there is now an alliance of West Marin villages to which I am a representative. There's 11 participants, Inverness, Inverness Park, Tamales, etc. And largely through the impetus of the Point Reyes Village Association, which has terrible problems, and they're really upset about the signage, which says turn left here for bathrooms and picnics when if you drive a mile and a half, you're in Bear Valley. So they're very active, and they have involved, and we are now involved with the state senator, Redoni, his office, and all, in regular meetings. The focus has been traffic and waste, and we haven't gotten to waste yet. Traffic is considered to be traffic and parking. So there have been discussions going on, and this same discussion with my same proposal that we find some way to deputize local people. Tamales needs someone at the Bear Valley Road stop sign, or else things back up through Inverness. So it's a similar problem, and I'm pleased to tell you that everyone continues to talk about it.
surprise.
Salinas is working on a parking plan. There's a fundamental issue. They've got the new Alamere Falls on the internet problem. So the Alamere Falls is sometimes backed up to where the gravel begins by 9:30 in the morning. The trailhead. There's a question, there is always a question about parking stickers. I have not endorsed that on behalf of the community. We really haven't surveyed it. I don't really, I view it as a problem we have 30 to 40 days a year.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with that? Neighborhood parking stickers feels like overkill to me, but I'm speaking for myself. There's no real progress to report, except we're continuing to talk about it. One of the challenges we put to Caltrans was making Highway 1 open. What would the cost be in contractor expense and insurance to open Highway 1 to bicyclists on the weekend? And the sense I get is it's absolutely impossible for the contractors even to open a one-lane steel thing, and they're all worried about somebody slipping on the steel, and they're worried about them falling off the mountain. So I don't think that's going to go anywhere, and we're just going to tough it out. I think, Lee, you're right. Bicyclists as a safety problem on Panoramic or Sir Francis Drake or Highway 1 North is what everyone's talking about. And the solution has been talk to the organized bike people and get them to agree to go single file. And everybody,
but
please report back on how that's working.
Yeah,
you know, right.
I mean, it's not, you know, Panoramic. We're stuck with a real problem. I mean, Panoramic isn't wide enough for bikes, and I don't know, even though if it can handle this level of traffic, it's certainly not constructed.
It looks like it's getting beat up.
Yeah, it's
the road's falling
apart. Yeah. The bikes are a problem. The bigger problem is all the local drivers, my impression. You have to cross the double line, yeah, to pass a biker, but you don't have to do it on a blind curve, even though that means there aren't a lot of opportunities where you can safely pass,
mm-hmm.
even using the word safely carefully. But it's scary. I'm sure you all have kind of the same thing. You're driving along, and all of a sudden there's somebody coming right at you and
mm-hmm.
on a blind curve
yeah.
in your lane. And it's ridiculous. And it's not, I mean, the bikers can be single file and as close to the line as they can get. And
still a problem.
You still have that problem. Yeah.
Has anybody brought up the possibility of just prohibiting bicycles on the weekends?
Good luck on that.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, there has been that discussion. And the response being...
there's been two motorcyclists killed in the last 3 months. So.
The response is that the Marin Bike Coalition is so organized and so involved that it would never play. I guess their response would be ban cars. But
of course.
I just generally think there are a lot of complaints and very little resolution, and the best thing we can hope for is increased awareness. In the long term, I have, as a concept, generally endorsed the idea of signage, parking at Manzanita or something on the other side of the hill, and frequent shuttles, perhaps Marin stages, bringing people out here as opposed to parking. But that's a long-term solution. I don't know if everybody would join me in that.
They're always packed on the way out. Poor people who are trying to get home. Mm-hmm. They don't have room, and then they have to use a taxi service to get home.
Well, it's almost getting to the point where, the Muir Woods electric sign that they've got before you go over the bridge, at least people know and they haven't committed to getting all the way out there and finding out that the parking lot is closed. It's almost like you wish you could have a warning saying, Stinson Beach is backed up.
There is a sign at the stoplight at Manzanita when you come off. Mm-hmm. And I know because it was accidentally folded open and I read it for the first time. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to that. You really have a problem that people are committed by the time they get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, we'll find a spot. Or as Kenny says, everyone has their secret spot. Once it was my driveway.
And where is it? No.
It's the place that has the auto tire deflator.
Mike, what's the name of the outfit that has all of the villages in the east?
We have named ourselves.
It's right there on the tip of your tongue.
No, I'm trying to figure it out. Okay. I believe it's the West Marin
Coalition.
Coalition of Villages.
I just want to refer this guy at Caltrans to it and offer its impetus as well.
Okay.
Do you have someone from Caltrans participating in
this
discussion?
Yes, we have Mucky Mucks.
You mentioned the Marin Bicycle Coalition. Is that an actual...
I believe so.
We ought to be in contact with them about this issue, which is important to them as it is to us.
Yep. Why don't you give me the name of that guy? The person
I don't
from,
remember.
I
can figure it out.
The person from Caltrans, if you will.
Right.
The other, comments, I think one answer is increased enforcement by the highway patrol. If I'm hopeful that if the word gets out that they're really coming down heavily on people who pass on blind curves, that somehow may filter through to the to others.
The CHP promised that at our meetings to enforce both that and the five-car rule.
Okay.
Even against bicyclists.
The five-car.
You have to pull over when you have five cars.
If you're slow traffic and you have five cars or more behind you, you're supposed to pull over.
And then it's signed to pull out.
Yeah. Well,
good point. Which is only...
How's the highway patrol?
How are you going to enforce it?
How do you enforce it? Where's the highway patrol going to hang out?
Well, that's easy enough because they can cruise and they can come up on a slow driver. But the fact of the matter is there's only, 10 pullouts on the, between Panoramic or Pantol.
Mount Home.
Yeah.
But most people don't even use them because they don't know what it means. They're tourists, right?
Right?
They've never seen a pullout.
Pull out?
No, honestly, I didn't
know
until I moved
down
here.
They just think it must be not be for them.
Right.
Not for me. I'm going pretty fast.
Yeah, that's true. This is way too fast for this mountain.
I had a question about the parking stickers that you said. What's the argument, pro and con, on that? I can't. Why is it overkill, and what would it hurt to have it?
I don't have a strong opinion other than if the problem is weekend parking and we're going to wind up being regulated as to where we're parking more generally based on a sticker, it seemed to me like more regulation that I wanted, just a knee-jerk reaction.
Who would administer?
Yeah, who's going to enforce it?
And there's that. How do you get your sticker is one question.
There's a certain expense in stickers.
Oh, yeah, they'll build in the $20 annual sticker fee.
Right.
And but I'm not sure. What does it mean? 2 hours?
Visitors.
So, and how are you going to measure the
I don't know.
The person's been there 2 hours? I don't know.
I have one friend who would really like to see the stickers. And what he feels trapped in his house is, you know, Annie knows you had to pick Tim Trumbo up to go to a party on the hill because he had a salad to deliver. And he feels that on a busy weekend like this, he cannot move his car. He's trapped at home.
So he would move and then a non-sticker car would be there. And if it was a two-hour thing, how would we know whether the non-sticker...
Yeah.
It's true.
That's the
problem. Moreover, it'd be the same problem. Because
exactly.
If what's associated with violating the sticker rule is a fine, it's the same as the $99 fine here. I mean, you know, people park, and if they're regular beach goers and they park in that zone all the time, you know, you're rolling the dice. So if you get a ticket 1 out of 5 times, or if you're a one-timer, you take a chance. You may or may not get a ticket, and if you do, that's the cost
plus
of parking.
Plus, you see all the others lined up who aren't getting tickets, so you go, must be okay.
Yeah. And
at least they should have signs where when you do try to park on the side of the road, you don't end up in a ditch. Because on Father's Day, I took the bus to Bolinas, and there was a car half in the road, half in a ditch. And I guess they thought that was a parking space. So that caused a backup. You know, these are the sort of... I mean, there isn't enough parking for everybody that wants to come to the beach on a hot, sunny weekend. And Muir Beach and Muir Woods has decided they're going to go to a lottery system or some sort of, you know...
Reservation,
but sometime in the future, perhaps it's 5 years from now or whenever they finally get around to it. 2018, they say.
Yeah.
That's a thought for the GGN. I mean, for the Stinson Beach, there's a on certain weekends or summer holidays or summer weekends, they could certainly... But then people would still park, you know... That's why it's free parking over there when they used to have paid parking because they realized people would park in the neighborhoods, up the hill, on the Highway 1, and they weren't making enough money to pay for a parking attendant either. So there was that.
Well, let me see. Everybody who's lived here a long time, how many times you had this conversation?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was
as long
thinking.
As I've lived here.
Oh. And we might as well, like, I moved, we... vote to change human nature.
Yeah.
And make everybody polite and, you know.
We'll become Canadians.
and the only thing you can say is that it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
I think if the sign said $299 fine, maybe people wouldn't park there.
Maybe.
Because that's not a risk you want to take. But then where would they be? My driveway? So it's.
I mean, like, yeah, I came home on Father's Day. I had played a round of golf up in San Geronimo with my son. I was coming home about 1:30-ish, and I got about a half a mile from the water district office, and I just hit the wall. I mean, the cars were
so 45 minutes.
Yeah,
to your house.
Yeah, 45 minutes to my house, and I don't come all the way to town just to get to Calle del Arroyo. And I mean, there was times when it was just sitting. It was hard to even understand what's going on up there because you're just sitting. And then, like you said, about the car in the ditch, there, the meter maid, what's her name, Barbie or Donna?
Barbara.
She was there directing traffic because the car was in the ditch, but sticking out into the traffic lane. So. She was there helping to direct traffic around that. And then I turn onto Arroyo, and there's another car half in the ditch and half on Arroyo.
I've got a pulling thing in my truck. When I see that, I just stop and pull the people out. But
well, if you're wrong, but I mean, a lot of these people
might not want to be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, otherwise
yeah.
It goes on. That's right.
You can make
sounds like a retirement.
Oh, I've only got 80. Okay,
well, the other thing is you're thinking, what were these people thinking when they were
They were desperate.
Well, they see green and they don't realize that that's not short grass. It's tall grass.
Just study the driver standing next to the car and that'll tell you.
So, what is the rule that we would like to establish in Stinson Beach for parking? Because I appreciate people park all the way out past the water district, like almost to the school.
Sometimes
going that way. So all of the people who live in the calles have chains or ropes across saying you can't come into the calles here and park, even if you don't block my driveway in that open spot. You can't park there. We don't tolerate visitors parking their cars in our space.
Yeah, and P.S., don't leave your poop or scoop or bag sitting on the end of my driveway. Thank you.
So what is the rule? What is the rule we would like to enforce? And can we kind of agree on what that is and then seek to inform?
Based on prior years' discussion, I believe the one inflexible rule is to leave the distance from the center line. You have to leave the legal distance from the center line so the safety equipment, the fire trucks and ambulances can get through.
Sure.
And that doesn't always happen as people are
And don't parking. Park in no parking zones.
And don't park in no parking zones, right?
And no parking zones are the calles, at least.
No.
Well, that's illegal. They really should be able to park in there. You're not supposed to be able to.
A neighbor of mine, regardless, but
there's no parking zones all along Calle Del Arroyo, along Highway 1. There's places that are posted, no parking.
Okay.
So
a part of my towing business, it will involve the sale of no parking zones. I have a neighbor who has one, and you've driven by it, you'd never guess that he put them up.
Right.
Are they abiding?
Oh, yeah, no one parks there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
They park at the other no parking zone. No, seriously.
They need
like
a better sign.
I'm telling you, there's some no parking zones, like the one along the, I call them the surf slums, but as you head out of town, the front of their fence, there's three no parking zones, but there's a perfectly, you could fit easily 15 cars diagonally parked in there. And those are recent. Those are in the last year and a half, I think.
So they came to my store.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
I wonder if they're real.
Who put those up and what was the rationale for it? You know?
Anyway, I think it's leave the clearance that we have for safety. Don't park in no parking zones. And what else would we, if we had a stickers with 2-hour parking,
we don't
in terms of priorities, I mean, they're pretty easy. What Mike said, to keep distance between the center line and the side. What is that for you?
Ten feet.
Yeah.
And don't park in posted no parking zones. Don't block driveways.
So are we advocating that folks in the calles take down those ropes and say you can't park in here, but
no.
Don't block the driveways and don't. Are we advocating them?
No,
Larry. No, that's 300 spots that are, you know.
Right.
So that's.
I think we could also advocate that Seadrift open up and allow.
Wow, that would be
the spots.
We'd have the same effect as that.
Empty field that could be gravel, and that's 400 spots that someone could pay $10. Someone could easily make $4,000 a weekend day if they were to charge for parking. I mean, these are all possibilities because it's not just traffic, it's parking. Because once they get here after waiting in a line for 3 hours, then they're going to park wherever there's an empty spot. It won't matter to them. $99. They've spent, you know, easily three times that much to get it from Sacramento, and their kids are screaming and
throwing up.
Right.
So this is the balance between being in a very attractive place and the sort of NIMBY notion, and the fact that here's all these people coming that that need to want to, from Sacramento, want to find a place to park. So there's sort of two sides to this. One is saying don't to people who have got to, and the other is what do we say to ourselves about providing more parking or being willing ourselves to accept that the visitors need to be somehow accommodated.
Well, sorry, Jamie.
No, that's it. It's just a
conflict. I kind of think we found the appropriate equilibrium just by practice. There's a certain amount of flushing that the toilets in the park can take before the leach field's overburdened. There's a certain amount of water that gets drawn down. If we accommodate 10,000 more people or 5,000 more people, what happens to that infrastructure? I think we kind of have by practice established equilibrium unless GGNRA says, oh, sure, we can flush another 2,000 people. And the thing to do is demand first law-abiding and second courtesy from the people who come and visit us and otherwise make them welcome. Anne.
Mike, last year we talked about putting some signage against, along with that Muir Woods thing, Stinson Beach lot full. Is that?
Well, there is that sign at the Tam Junction. Otherwise, there hasn't been. And I haven't pursued it the way that our former colleague did. When we have asked for it, there's all kinds of things about traffic safety, visibility, read and react time. So we would need a sign.
It's too late where it
at
is.
The tunnel. There's a sign at the Arco station, I think.
There's one at the Arco station on the
from Muir Beach,
on southbound 101.
About Stinson Beach?
About Muir Woods and Stinson Beach.
I guess it flashes on.
Beach parking full.
Why have I never
I've seen
this?
That. And that's the southbound 101. And
quit looking at your phone.
Yeah,
the
right.
North and the northbound 101, there's a sign right by Robin Williams Tunnel.
Is there?
Yeah.
There is?
That announces Muir Woods.
Muir Woods.
And I've been driving too fast to see if it changes to Stinson Beach or not.
Oh, I've only seen Muir Woods, but it'd be great if we could share those.
So through great personal effort, I've arranged for those signs they just described.
by the way, the message about beach parking full on the highway sign was part of the community plan, our very first community plan in the 1970s, as a goal to pursue. So we're still working on it. And
I have an incomplete recollection of what was the problem when this came up last year at one of our meetings. And there was something about the signage when we asked that Stinson Beach be added to the sign that they already had, that the representative pushed back on and said there was some problem putting that up along, that they didn't have room, something that made no sense. I didn't understand what the explanation was, but there was that explanation. Am I misremembering this?
Well, I have incomplete reluctantitis also. But I seem to recall you got to have the sign visible for a time period. Then it's going to change to a new message for a time period. What's the flow of traffic look like? What's the safety factor of how many messages you can have on a sign? But
yeah.
Well, you know, I think that was a bogus argument, because by the time the Stinson Beach parking full sign gets illuminated, the traffic is stopped, waiting to exit.
So they'd have time to read it.
They'd have plenty of time to read it.
I don't. Okay, well, they were probably counting on the fact that in a given time, people would forget why they don't.
They studied the age. Maury.
Yeah, this was going to be part of my report, but since we're
let's have your report.
Since we're on the topic, Jamie asked that we bring before the Water District Board
possibility of leaving the parking lot open on weekends and on holidays. And we discussed this as an agenda item at the last board meeting. And the experience, the couple of times that it was left open, was not a good one. There was lots of trash. There was people who left their barbecue on the steps, thus exposing to a possible problem. But I think the most important reason is that the parking lot has to be accessible by the district employees that are on an on-call. And it's also designated as an emergency assembly area in the event of an emergency. So the consensus of the board and the manager was that we are not going to leave it open on the weekends, or nor on a holiday.
And then we found the problem of that when we put the gate, closed the gate, and then people were parking, blocking the gate. So our on-call person, who has a key to the gate, couldn't get in and out of...
Other than driving.
I think we're going to resolve that, Larry, by signage.
Yeah, but we're going to, we're going to get some additional signage for the driveway, but it has been such a mess when it's been used, as Maury was saying. It's just not feasible. And a lot of people don't even realize that, every weekend we have an employees, they rotate, but we have, it's 24-hour
on call. You get a water break,
you got a and they have to, part of their duty is to go around to each of the tanks and check them and go to the pump station and check that and stuff like that. So we actually use the facility.
So I summed all this up with a report to you, didn't I say? Traffic is bad?
That's succinct.
That's very profound.
Yeah. It sounds like the beginning of a poem.
Larry, I'm scratching my head over your comment that there are bags of poop that are left in your driveway. And I'm trying to imagine the thinking of someone who says, I'm going to be a good citizen and clean up after my dog, and then I'll dump it on somebody else.
Or they leave it on the beach.
Or they leave
it
on
the
beach.
Time.
You know, a lot of the calles, or even patios that have paths that go from down to the beach, and people, we find stacks of them, really, all neatly tied, and they just leave them at the end of the path, one end to the other. So my driveway's at the beginning of the path, then there's the beach end of the path. And even we have, logs along the side of the path. Yeah.
Not there.
And I agree, I can't figure out what's...
They don't have a trash.
Undoubtedly a poop fairy that we don't have.
And there was a time we used to have a garbage can out on our... We used to keep it in a more visible spot. And it seemed to me that people had the philosophy that if they threw their garbage in the vicinity of their garbage can, that was okay.
I think it's that and when the dog is doing this business and someone's watching, they want to, be seen doing the right thing. But when no one's watching,
right,
feel they can do the wrong thing.
Well, again, I move that we change human nature.
Let's go to the next item. I just add one about changing human nature, if I may. So we are caught with the fact that we live in this wonderful place, and we have all these visitors that are coming, and we would like the visitors to feel welcome, but also at the same time announce on our part some sort of standard of conduct that we would like them to follow, right? And so it seems to me perfectly reasonable that if we're not letting people park in the calles, which I think is just a truism, because I can't imagine my neighbors saying, yeah, sure, we're going to take down the chain and let people come park it. But of course, they can walk down any of the calles onto the beach. I mean, that's...
And the public access easement on the calles is not for parking.
Yeah, I'm not protesting. I've left that off the table.
However, you have pedestrian access.
It does seem to me that we might say in a sign, or we might think about what a sign might say, not to sort of try to resolve it here in a group, but that says something like, welcome to Stinson Beach.
The greatest place on earth.
Until you got here.
Town. Pedestrian.
Please be careful.
Pedestrian access.
Dispose of your poop.
Pedestrian access.
Do the right thing.
And then say. And then just
respect
say.
Respect the neighbor.
Because
I'm sorry, Jamie.
And just say, please, you know, so welcome. Please leave the beach nicer than you found it. It's the standard campers, visitors kind of, please leave the beach nicer than you found it. Thank you very much. Or have a nice day or something like that. Anyway, it just seems to me that we might set a standard, announce the standard, put in a little sign that welcomes people and says, you know, thanks for coming. We're delighted to have you. Whatever the dickens it says. But it also says, you know, please leave the beach nicer than you found it. And I think that may even get, anyway, I don't want to be cute at the end here. You know, get your poop into buckets.
Right.
But it just seems to me that, and we could post them on all the cayous, or whatever. It just, you know, why don't we say out loud the things that we're all saying to ourselves in here? And say it to the people who are our visitors.
I tell you one reason why we wouldn't do it. It wouldn't matter.
Everybody assumes that's for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people that do that know that. The people that leave that, they know. They know they're not doing the right thing. I mean, excuse me, if you were to.
I think it's a good idea, and I think by example and by suggestion, we should encourage better behavior. I'll bet if we voted on it, as a community, we'd all get hung up on whether we want to say welcome to Stinson Beach.
And how many languages.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's like, well, you're not welcome, go home, could be some people, or I don't want to let them think, or it doesn't matter, because it's 30 or 40 days a year. So.
But there's another point, too, and that's that, especially if it says welcome to Stinson Beach, signs get stolen. The tsunami signs, tsunami warning signs, as soon as they go up, they get stolen.
Really?
Yeah, it's so cute.
I've got my fives in it.
It can just say welcome. Doesn't it say
collage?
Anyway,
I'm going to sell them on next door.
I believe, my experience in the world is that if you set a standard for people, people know this is the standard, and people come to accept that that's the standard, then they will comport themselves consistent with that standard. And you know, human nature is about that. It is about the sort of social standards that people set. Anyway, I just want to suggest that we entertain the notion and maybe even we try it out. And I'll, you know, write down, here's the proposed language. We can submit it here. People can tool around with it once we've got something. And then
wouldn't that apply the same to, what's ambiguous about no parking? What's ambiguous about stop when a stop sign? And it sets the standard clear, unambiguously, and people violate it in mass.
Well, let me interrupt. So, let me pause back to order. May I suggest whether by motion or just consensus of the meeting, I will... put a note in next door entry summarizing the discussion we've been saying, summarizing what some of the complaints are, feces, parking, stop sign, and see what people think about signs, the entry to town, maybe at the entries to the beach. Karen?
My youth group has thought about putting signs, creating signs and laminating them, saying on the trash cans, if the trash is full, please take your trash home in a welcoming way. Welcome to Stinson Beach, please leave it, whoever you found it.
So you're going to do it then?
Yeah, that was Rodoni's suggestion.
That was Rodoni's idea, yeah.
Terry?
Along the same lines, I have a question about whether financing signage in the community is our function, or should it not? I mean, like,
I didn't hear it as a suggestion
that
we find it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's forget that it costs anything. We can go figure out how to pay for it. I just want to, my inquiry is sort of what's the community standard and shouldn't we announce it? That's all. And Mike, I think your idea is a good one to put it in the neighborhood.
Then you comment and everybody else can.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I just
Carrie.
Want to say I appreciate this because I think we need to rise above a lot of negativity that's been happening all these years and, you know, showing from the top down of our country. I think we need to rise above it. Do the right thing. Be kind.
Right.
Be
expect the best.
Expect the best.
And maybe then.
Yeah, and set standards. Teach your children manners for a minute.
Oh, that.
Yeah. You don't talk with your mouth.
You know what?
I've got children screaming at me.
I'm leaving.
Get your elbow off the table.
Yeah.
Says my mother with her mouth full. Okay, let's continue the Water District report.
Are we still on new business?
Oh, you want another?
I was.
Forgive me.
I want to bring something up because I'm not sure. It's been a while since Robert's Rule of Orders. I've followed it. I am going to ask that the Village Association donate to the West Run Senior Services Bolina Stinson Fund. Would that? I know there's probably some procedure, or you have to vote on the procedure. So does that come up through new business, or should I wait till my report?
We have generally kind of in one session looked at what we have and what the budget allocation is for charitable giving. It's not on the agenda today. Sam, when do we do it? Just randomly or toward the end of the year?
I think the more important thing is we can't vote on a monetary or something like that without 10 days notice before our meeting is sent out. So
other than using already allocated funds and then
but we can't spend it
after we've, yeah.
We can't spend it unless the membership votes to do it, but we do have in our budget $500 for community projects or and that's the fund for that.
When does requests need to come up and
so well, you just did.
Just did, yeah.
So we would put it on the agenda for next month.
It's been in the
okay.
It's been in the record.
That's what I
want to
put in the agenda for next month. Then.
Do you have an acute need now?
It is not now. I mean, certainly it will come up, but
okay.
I'll explain it at my so.
Okay. So Water District.
The only other news that I have to report is that we have selected a contractor and an inspection service to re-coat one of our large water tanks out of the our facility out there.
That's a $300,000 expense?
That's right. Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Plus we have to drain the tank and it goes out of service for a little while. So.
How long?
About a week, I think. Is that what they said, Mike?
I think it's probably 2 weeks, Larry.
Yeah.
Are you waiting to the fall to do it?
Mm-hmm.
The demand is now?
Yes, we are.
But you got to straddle the wait for the water demand to go down, like so after Labor Day. But then you got to squeeze it in before you get near the rainy season. So.
Right. Carrie, are you here for a library purpose?
I am. I'd like to say
like
the libraries are very busy.
That's
very,
wonderful.
Very
you're
busy.
Running a great operation.
Well,
we're
having
parking.
No parking sign out, so I'm going to leave. But I don't have to tell actually everybody. There are so many visitors that have come year after year after year from now to, you know, it's
you
amazing.
Remember everybody.
Sometimes I don't, but it is amazing that this is a resort town in a good way that people love coming here again.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to the library. They still have library cards. It's really great. So we're having a teen henna event next Friday. We're having a new art show of botanical art from the Bolinas Botanical Art Club or something like that. And it's going to be beautiful, really beautiful art, and an opening next Saturday. And then Amber Hines is coming in July, end of July, to sing songs. She's a Bolinas person. She'll be singing world music and getting everybody to dance. We've had a sushi event, and what else happened with the kids? Oh, a circus workshop that was really cute. Kids learning how to balance feathers. So,
And a hoolie.
And a hoolie, a sing-along. We're having sing-alongs every few months. On Tuesday, we sang some Summer of Love songs, 1960.
Wonderful.
How do these ideas come up? Do you have a committee?
We have a few committees.
Yeah.
They do come up every year. We plan them. We start planning them in February.
It's really wonderful.
Carrie,
we're,
take those and put
yes.
them up. Thank
yes.
you.
We're so blessed with what you do there.
Well, thank
I mean,
you.
It's the very essence of community.
It really is.
It's
I mean,
setting
every,
a good standard.
It is setting a good standard.
Yeah.
And sometimes it
really is amazing that this community has created a library. Everybody comes and says, instance of this big library, this beautiful
mm-hmm.
library.
Catherine, are you here to report?
I am here to report.
For more than one?
No report for the Historical Society. It's only
okay.
for the Stinson Beach Fire Protection District, the Stinson Beach Volunteer Fire Department, and the Stinson Beach Disaster Council. So it's very brief. And unfortunately, I'm sorry, Lisa, my printer's broke.
Don't sweat it. You
so,
can email me.
Okay.
All right.
The Stinson Beach Volunteer Firefighters would like to thank everyone who attended the Father's Day Pancake Breakfast. They'd like to thank everyone for supporting.
How many people attended?
Gosh, I didn't count.
331.
But just in line with Carrie's experience, there were people I was selling T-shirts to who live in San Francisco and say they rent a house in Stinson Beach every year on Father's Day, and they always come to the pancake breakfast,
mm-hmm.
so that's very nice to know. The most important part of the report really is to remind everyone that all fireworks, including the so-called safe and sane, are illegal throughout Marin County, and we are very concerned of fire danger. Our heavy winter rains have created extra vegetation that's now very dry and ready to burn. So please talk to your kids and any visitors you have, and let's all be fire safe. Enjoy the Fourth.
I want to say that the photo on the notice for the pancake breakfast with the cars lined up. So I want to get another one. I framed it and gave it to my kid for his birthday. I thought it was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Where was it?
I'll pass that off.
It shows cars, like 50s cars, snaking over the hill on a little sign that says, resume safe speed. And it's a beautiful picture. I don't know where it came from.
I don't know. Did someone on the fire department?
Really? Well, probably. I wonder if they found
it. Like an old New Yorker cover.
Right.
Where was it?
Sorry. It was on the handout.
The handout.
Maybe there's some more in the firehouse.
Maybe.
You could probably sell it. Yeah. Hey, it sounds good.
There you go. Any other reports?
Oh, I have one more thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm growing tomatoes, peas, and lettuce, and strawberries at the library. There's actually tomatoes, if anybody wants to come and eat a tomato on the line.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So if you're hungry, just
come
on.
We have a report from GGNRA.
Yeah, it's rather long, but here it goes. Recap of junior lifeguards this year. Last week, they successfully certified 12 junior lifeguards, 6 lifeguards, and a park ranger as a Red Cross lifeguard. They'd like to extend a big thank you to the Stinson Beach Fire Department and the Sea Drift Association for letting them use their Apparatus Bay and Inner Lagoon, respectively, for the class. This allowed them to, with perfect facilities to facilitate the class and also exposed Park Service employees and volunteers to the community of Stinson Beach. In addition, 3 out of the 4 new hires this year are veterans of the Junior Lifeguard Program, which brings our total ratio this year to 9 out of 13. As for the program itself, we have 46 participants ranging from ages 12 to 17. We plan to cover information in ocean awareness, beach safety, lifeguarding, skills, techniques, and first aid. GGNRA lifeguards will be joined by GGNRA rangers, Stinson Beach fire personnel, Marin County fire personnel, U.S. Coast Guard, and members of CHP's H-30 rescue helicopter team as guest instructors for the duration of the program. This is Mia. She says, I would like to add that over a quarter of the participants in the program this year are from the Stinson and Bolinas area. As I and many other guards on our staff were raised in West Marin and participated in JLs as kids, it pleases us to see the next generation of local youth participate in such a positive and physically attractive program, all the while getting exposed to the beautiful park that is their front yard. Okay, halfway through, so hang tight. Accessibility project. Project manager report that MOD approved for the handrail, which will be on the east side of the hill, side of the boardwalk. Plan to see that in July. It's the last piece of the project, and then it's time for the bagpipes. Parking congestion. NPS has brought in parking lot attendants to help manage traffic flow, break up congestion. We hope you feel the difference. Tested first last fall in Muir Woods. This out-of-the-box idea is now being implemented at Stinson Beach and Marin Headlands, as well as Muir Woods. Best secret in the county, the West Marin stage. $3 from Stinson Beach to Trailheads to on Tamalpais and above Muir Woods, as well as into town with stops in Mill Valley, Tam Valley, Sausalito. P.S. Go east to west to Daly. Water quality. Ocean water is tested at Marin Beaches weekly, and results are available in several formats. There's a sign at several locations on the beach that advises that the testing is in place and that provides the phone number to call as well as the website. When a contaminated sample is reported, the signs are then changed to notify beachgoers that the water is unsafe. Check on results by calling 415-473-2335. Press 1 or go to marincounty.org/EHS and look for the box with beach monitoring on right. Gwen Heisted, Audubon Canyon Ranch biologist and educator, is the 2017 recipient of the Terwilliger Award. Sharon Farrell, Golden Gate National Park Conservancy's One Tam Rep and Stewardship Manager, was recently honored with EAC's Peter Bear Award. Last, Park Fun. Tour Battery Towsley, the World War II installation in the Marin Headlands. Thanks to volunteers, this awesome place and fascinating stories open once a month, first Sunday. Plan to visit July 2nd, noon to 4. Dog-friendly trail, and it's free. West Point Inn Pancake Breakfast is July 9th. The 3rd of August, September 10th, October 8th, walk or bike into this historic lodge on town. $10 for adults, $5 for kids for a great breakfast, 9 to 1. And then there's a public star party at Rock Springs parking lot, Mount Tam, July 29th, 7:30 to 11, and it's free.
Where is the bunker that they're going to tour?
Marin Headlands.
Marin Headlands.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty big
thing. Yeah, right.
You take the road on the north side of the Golden Gate Bridge.
And then
up that way. Okay.
Its specific name is called Battery Townsley.
Okay.
And one more thing. Thank you, Sam. And correct me if I get it wrong. As you know, we've been monitoring the revision of the local coastal program, and two areas of controversy remain: the environmental hazards area, which deal, as it impacts us, with the restrictions on permitting and changes to the CAIs, the land, some 290 some lots affected, as well as more generally addressing projected ocean rise. And the agricultural section, which for many folks was in agricultural controversial. At the November last year hearing, where we went expecting that the county's recommendations for environmental hazard might carry the day, which we found a compromise and acceptable. The Coastal Commission sent it back to committee for further work, and that's ongoing and maybe a deadlock as far as environmental hazards. But the agricultural portion, they seem to have come to an accommodation. I'm not sure whether there are factors in the county that are still opposed, But that's set for a Coastal Commission hearing on the, as they say, consideration of findings related to ongoing agriculture with suggested modifications and the request of Marin County to comprehensively update it. So it looks like the county's going back on agriculture July 14th, 9 a.m., Cal State, Monterey Bay, in Seaside. Also, if you're really interested, you can go to the Coastal Commission website and find information about it. Did I get it right, Sam?
Yep. And if you want to read what the suggested modifications that are being considered for adoption, you can go to marincounty.org, look on the tag for the LCP, and the findings will be are published there. It's 14 pages. Snap. Not 750 as usual, but
anything for the good of the order?
Well, Steve,
yeah, those Westmoreland Senior Services.
Oh, reports. Forgive me, I rolled right on.
Seven seniors in Stinson I'm actively providing services to, three that we've added since I started in February. Three new ones, I should say that. We were given a grant by the Bolina Stinson Grant Fund for the spring 2017. And unfortunately, it was $1,000 less than we asked for, and we already had overspent it by something like $700. So,
happens in my house too.
Yeah. So there was, and those are funds we use for helping seniors get rides to places, because you know, you can rely on friends and volunteers, but that can dry up pretty quickly. So we do pay drivers per the hour spent, and that. So we have two regular drivers and a few others that we sometimes use. We also have helped with emergency medical care, just minor stuff. The Westmoreland Community Fund is also a resource, but we focus on the Bolina Stinson seniors. And we've helped with minor home repairs and things like that. So the Bolinas Whitecaps, when I told them this news, they stepped right up and donated $750 to our fund. So, in the spirit of competition and tug of war, I would like it on the agenda that, you know, to ask for a matching from the Village Association, or double, you know, since, you know, such a, you know, four times more in the bank account than the Whitecaps do. So that's my report, and so that will have to come up next meeting, but I am on the agenda for that, and that can be voted on, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. I love
that. That's notice now, given that it's been
right. requested, and we'll have to get the seniors to call you at home. Believe me, we will twist arms if need to be. You know, it's pretty... it's very vital that we have these funds, and for the seniors of Bolinas and Stinson, and I think to be, you know, short-sighted, I think, to shortcut the grant, but, you know, we're going to try to make it up from other community resources.
Lisa, may I ask that in the agenda,
mm-hmm.
you specifically list an item voting on request of the Marin County Senior Service.
Westmoreland
Senior Services for a donation of $750 for sawmills.
Well, may I say that our budget for this year allocated $500 for community support or supporting community organizations.
Okay,
so that is our budget.
Okay, so he's asking for more.
Yes, but we can allocate. Per the approved budget, up to $500.
All right. Well, you say Bolinas is the victor, and
for the additional amount,
yeah.
we can consider.
We can.
But there is the church.
Can we vote to increase that, or is that only when we approve the budget?
We can vote to increase.
We can vote to over.
So maybe we can do both at the same time.
But that's two agenda items. We need to a vote to exceed the budget.
Yep.
And to approve the funds.
Yeah, okay. So it would be a vote to consider exceeding the budget. For...
Before we recess, Lee, what is the email address for people to report traffic concerns?
Yes. Oh, you should do that. Okay, it's stinsontraffic@leepollack.com.
Oh, wow.
T-O-L-L-A-K.
Yeah, .com.
Anything else?
Over here tonight.
Oh,
well, no, I actually...
Do you have a report?
No.
For the... Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
Oh, I do. Yeah, the community center didn't have their cleanup day, so we look forward to having one in the future, and you can all come.
you're invited.
Also, I think the movie program in the park starts next Friday. Isn't it the fire department?
Yeah.
She's not the fire department.
Yes, but
movie
it's not the movie committee has their own committee. It's not.
Well, anyway, it's one of three, and it'll start Friday night.
Have they told anybody what the movie is?
No.
Who said it was?
Yeah. Need to know.
Surprise.
It's a lot of fun.
Sneak preview.
Okay, I'll step up to the plate. I move to adjourn.
I second it.
All in favor? Let's go.
Before the anybody before it.
I gave that up when I said
it.
Put your user-friendly signs up.
you know
how bad it is?
Remember, Donna Andrews, may she rest in peace. She was so great at getting those cans with me.